I get a check on Friday, but it's already spent. Working for a living. Working. Working for a living.
Working for a living to pay off these property tax notices that are coming in the mail. It's a hot topic this morning as everyone's receiving theirs. And the man in the hot seat alongside of me right now, at least over the phone, Mayor Chad Bushinski for his weekly visit. Mayor, welcome back.
Morning.
I'll get to that in a moment, buddy. But City Council developing the old Taylor Field site. That was kind of secured yesterday. We knew this was coming. So what's next in that project then?
Yeah, so we approved to apply for some funding so we can actually offset some of those infrastructure costs. And that's the first step is that we actually need to get the underground pipes and that all sorted out so that way we can get ready to make sure it's proper service land ready to turn into development. So that'll be the first planning and construction that'll happen over the next couple of years.
And besides that, council is going through a list of items to find savings. And the list was made by administration, right, after council asked them to find somewhere in the neighborhood of $1.5 million in savings. I believe I got that right. So far, so good?
Yep.
Okay. And that's to help lower the mill rate during budget talks. You've done that. Is this something that was taken care of in the last budget, or is this for the future budget? I just want to clarify that.
Yeah, so this was already accounted for in the budget that we had already approved for 2025. So this is savings still that we had to find within 2025 because of the 0.5% that was approved by council to reduce the mill rate by initially. So this is to make sure that we make good on the savings that were required from council during budget time.
So you cut about $500,000 from the transit fleet reserve, $600,000 from the now removed carbon tax for utilities, and $44,000 from the mosquito control budget. You're going to hear about that, right, aren't you?
Well, just to clarify, the only reason we actually went down that path is because we got new information during council yesterday that because we're so far into the year, we're able to actually realize those savings without actually having that impact. So we have better numbers to go by, basically.
Okay, Mayor Chad Bushinski, lots of people getting their property tax notices in the mail this week. I was one. I'm paying probably a little over $700 more than I was. I've just got a text here from Dana said, please share this with the mayor. Got my tax notice. My taxes went up $2,300 this year. Now paying $13,000 in taxes. Ask the mayor if he thinks this is reasonable. Ask him how much his taxes went up and how would it feel if his were $1,100 per month after tax dollars. What do you think here? He calls it obscene. What do you call it?
I totally understand the shock and I'll answer the question. Mine went up, somewhere around that neighborhood too. I go back to it. It's not a situation that I think, especially a brand new council wanted to be in. But the reality is over the last decade, we've chopped that mill rate for year after year. And we found ourselves in a situation where the work that we have to get done to make sure we don't have failures of our critical and core infrastructure, those things have to happen. So, it's a challenging situation, but, what we're looking to is to continue to learn and find ways where we can find reasonable increases. And that is what we're trying to do, is trying to find reasonable or low increases going forward, but still maintaining those critical components of our city.
I don't ever see our taxes coming down, and I don't think you do ever either. But do we have to start looking at revenue generation outside of property taxes? Is it sponsorship selling? Is it you guys working a car wash with council on the weekend raising funds here? Do you start thinking about, how do we get revenue sources outside to assist this?
There's a number of factors I'll take the car wash thing back and we'll talk about it, but you're right, and part of that I've talked about it before, is we have infill properties, we have a level of sprawl that has caused a high cost of infrastructure for a lower volume of units. And so as we see, and we actually approved a development yesterday in council where we have a multi-unit dwelling going up in a space that, maybe traditionally 25 years ago would be a single family home. These are things that we can do to increase the revenue within our city using existing infrastructure. So those are tactical ways that we can do that.
Mayor, you proclaimed it to be Public Works Week. Tell me about this.
Yeah, so it's Super exciting this week. May 18th to 24th is Public Works Week. And so, actually today is Public Works Day. So there's going to be, an open house at the Public Works Yard. We're going to have a number of, I think we're going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 400 kids coming to visit, check out some of the heavy equipment and really celebrate the folks, that are fixing our roads and keep our water and wastewater moving and sweeping our streets and plowing our roads and all that. So, yeah, it's really exciting. And there's a lot of amazing, hardworking people that, that we get to celebrate today.
Well, there's something I think I can join you in saluting all of those, yeah. Those workers for sure. Property taxes, not so much right now, my friend, but, still you always come on the show every Thursday. We do appreciate it and, have a great day there. Enjoy your day.
You too. Thanks, Greg.
There it is, a little bit of sunshine. It was a nice-looking sunrise, a mixture of sun and cloud this morning, and these clouds will start to back off through the afternoon here, and it's going to get warmer. Kevin Martell joining me now from the 980 CJME Newsroom. We got a better long, we had a lousy long weekend forecast, better upcoming weekend forecast.
Which is perfect, because the plan this weekend, Greg, is to do the hop circuit, or at least part of it. We'll see if we do all of it. Part of it, certainly, but...
Did you say the hop circuit?
Yeah, the hop circuit. So this is something they've done over the last number of years, and there are about, I think, six, seven local places, local breweries, craft places, go for a drink. It doesn't have to be alcoholic, but most people certainly would do that. And so you do this little circuit, you get a little stamp, and then you get a glass. But it's a good way to support local, of course.
Awesome.
And this year, perhaps more important than ever.
There's going to be a lot going on. Cathedral Village Arts Festival really cranking up tonight through Friday and Saturday. And I've got to MC the Alzheimer's Walk on Saturday. Well, I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be great in front of the ledge if you want to join us at 1 o'clock. And generally speaking, I think everyone's ready to dig in the garden.
Yeah.
You know, even though it might be a little muddy right now, people want to get those bedding plants going and gardening, don't they?
Yeah, and it certainly does feel like, and I know the street sweepers came down my street yesterday. I'm looking out them at the front window going down the street, looking in the same view of my way too long grass, which certainly needs a cut now, Greg.
Well, I think there's a lot of people that'll join you mowing the grass this weekend. Mayor Chad Baczynski just on me. Man, our techs are firing up here, and it's a hot topic. Evan Bray telling me he was out golfing yesterday, and he said everyone he golfed with, all they could talk about is how property tax notices are in the mailbox this week, and can't believe how much they've gone up.
I think that's when people really start to notice. When the whole discussion is happening at City Hall, you know, it doesn't really, I know a lot of people, it's kind of over there, right? It's over there at City Hall. But then when you open your letter, it becomes right in your
home. Shocking.
And you see, and we're seeing on the text line, some people paying hundreds of dollars more. I think one texter said about $1,000 more.
Yeah.
I know in our household, it'll certainly be a couple hundred dollars more as well. So, It's getting real now.
Well, it is. And, you know, some of these jumps are small mortgage payments in addition.
For sure.
That's what it's like, getting an extra mortgage payment. But as you heard from the mayor, he said he kind of alluded to the fact he thinks too many mayors previously and councils have just kicked it down the road and now we're paying for it all.
Well, especially with all these major infrastructure projects as well coming up.
Okay. Let's see what else here. Oh, go ahead. Did you want to say anything? I'll let you. Go ahead.
Are the Edmonton Oilers doing their best impression of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Greg?
I'm not having a Leaf meltdown, if that's what you're asking. No, stay out of the penalty box. I was looking in the first series against the Kings, in the first three games.
Yeah.
I think we had 7 power plays. Goals against us, but we still won that series.
I mean,
but no, it will be fine.
You would think the game plan is pretty simple for the Oilers. Stay out of the penalty box and you'll win.
Yeah, they'll be okay, Kevin.
Yeah. They lost the first two in the first series against LA and they came back, no problem.
Yeah, we're going to be just fine, little buddy. You just wait and see. I'm not crying yet. Okay, coming up here in the headlines, this is a pretty, pretty monumental sentence that was given out by a judge here.
Yeah, record. When it comes to specifically for sexual offenses against kids in this province, it really is a disgusting, a disturbing story. But 17 years in prison for Richard Dyke. We're talking more than 30 kids, 30 victims over the span of 20 years.
Okay, more on that story coming right up. And you can always find details of stories we're talking about here at CJME.com as well. Getting closer to the weekend, and the sun's going to be out. It'll dry up. It's already looking a little better out there this morning, although a bit cloudy now. It'll be stronger sunshine by the time you drive home today. And, man, it is ugly trying to get around downtown right now with the construction. Heard a lot of complaints the last few evenings after 5 o'clock. Whistle rings out. People stuck in traffic as they're working downtown here just near our building. On 11th, it's all blocked off. So the Cathedral Village Arts Festival will also be blocking a few streets off on the weekend here. It's back, and tonight it really cranks up and only gains momentum through Friday and Saturday. No doubt it's going to be packed, too, as this weather improves. But Don Young joins me now from the Cathedral Village Arts Festival. And Don, how about starting with how long this festival has been around and how it all got started?
Well, this is the 34th year of the festival, and the legend is that it started in a guy's backyard, Ken Mitchell, who was sort of a writer and a musician around town back in the early 90s. He had a few buddies over, he brought their 12 strings, a case of beer, and a bunch of pot, I suspect, and they had kind of a backyard festival. Next year, it became like two or three houses, and then it was the block, and then it was a couple of blocks, and over the 34 years, it's grown into, well, it's now, you know, Regina's only major arts and music festival, and last year, we had an estimated 50,000 people on 13th during the street fair day. And if we get good weather this week, I imagine we'll have that many as well this year.
What makes this festival so unique, Don?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think two reasons. First of all, we are a free festival. We don't charge a dime. 60 performers, 8 venues, like great, great musicians and actors and storytellers, all free. That's the first thing. However, we do pay everybody. It's a weird business model, right? We don't charge any money, but we pay everybody. And then the second thing is it's grassroots community run. And I mean that really sincerely. We have about 150 volunteers. This year, at least half that many are young newbies joining the festival. So it's not a bunch of old boomers, right? There's a bunch of young kids joining the festival as volunteers, which is great. The message that we try and put out is that community counts. You know, if you want to make the world a better place, go shovel your neighbor's snow in the winter. That's kind of the ethic of the festival, and people seem to like that.
This show generates the biggest buzz Friday and Saturday. I know this weekend is going to be packed, so let's take it a day at a time. If you could go through and look at, say, Friday, if you had to pick one, maybe two highlights, what do you think people should look for on Friday?
Too many choices, but let's just stay with the tent. Everybody knows the big tent in the Holy Rosary Green Space. We have a Mexican mariachi rock band. So it'll be loud and it'll be caliente, right? So that'll be good. After then, we have a Ukrainian rock band. And then closing out the night, we have everybody's favorite, the Andino Sons.
Oh, they're awesome.
A lot of your listeners will know, and they're kind of like Chilean refugees or sort of immigrant/refugees. You know, they're a family. They've been playing for years. So that's Friday night in the tent. But we also have the Block Rock going on between the Mercury and the Community Center. We have about half a dozen bands playing 30-minute set. It's packed. Like, people just flip back and forward between the Mercury and the CNC.
We're talking about Friday, and it's really a party atmosphere, and I know a lot of families like to wander through on Saturday, so what can they look for?
Well, three things. So, the street fair. This year, we have about 100 more vendors than we had last year. We're having almost 400 vendors on 13th. We got people coming in from BC and Winnipeg and Edmonton, and about 30 vendors coming down from Saskatoon. If the weather's good, it'll be a real great shopping day. At the same time, in the green space, and behind behind Holy Rosary, we're having kind of a kids' carnival, and we call it Funville. So we got the balloon guy, and, you know, we got jugglers and the puppy people, and we're sponsored, Funville sponsored by Sask Milk. So they're sending a bunch of volunteers over in cow costume. That'll be fun, and we're going to have a tug of war. The mayor's going to be there.
What about under the big tent as far as entertainment that you think is going to be cool on Saturday?
Saturday night, we have everybody's favorite, Library Voices, the Library Voices, and I'm kind of a boomer, right? So I miss these guys, but I'm told they were rock gods back in the 90s. The Library Voices are playing the tent on Saturday night, and Megan Nash is playing as well, and she's kind of our big headliner on the Saturday night. We have some thrash metal bands at the community center, and then down at St. Mary's Church, we have the Northern Light old-timey music banjo collective doing a sort of traditional old-time kind of two-step country dance.
Don Young, Cathedral Village Arts Festival back again this year. Great catch-up, Don. I wish you well, and I know you're going to work tirelessly behind the scenes. To you and all the volunteers, thank you.
Yeah, and thanks for your interest. Very much appreciate it.
If you've ever wondered whatever became of me, I'm living.
Well, there's an old TV theme. I'm not sure where my producer Brett got this. Recorded off a cassette deck, I think. But Evan Bray, let's grab his mic here. Mike,
I love that show.
Yeah, well, I played it because I noticed you're going to be talking about TV themes.
Well,
later
we got on
why?
This topic yesterday. You were talking about George Wendt passing away, and that got people talking about Cheers and what a big show that was in their lives. And that's the thing with some of these TV themes. They literally, that one there is a good example, takes you back to a point in your life. So closer to lunch today, we're revisiting some good old memories with TV.
You know, a moment ago, Brett, the producer here, asked me, what's your favorite TV show? And I said, well, you know, Seinfeld, I guess, just because of so many great lines. And I always watch when the reruns are on. But do you have, like, the ultimate favorite TV show? I do not. Like, through periods of my life, I loved 24 with Kiefer Sutherland when it came out.
You know, I
and
never watched
Prison
that
Break.
Show.
I was into that show. Yeah. And, you know, I'm into Yellowstone. I don't have a favorite.
For me,
I just go
it would be Seinfeld and The Office would be both right up there. I
Office
love both
was great.
Of those shows.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Did you watch the game last? Well, yeah, you did because you texted me to rub it in.
Well, I was texting you. So here's the thing. I actually golfed yesterday, did 9 holes of golf, came off the course. It was 3-1 Oilers.
Yeah.
So I'm pumped up and excited. I'm rushing home to watch the third period. I get home. That's when I texted you. I'm like, what is going on, Greg?
3 power play goals in the third. Yeah, it was it's only game one. I was looking back. We gave up 7 power play goals to the Kings in the first 3 games of the series. You know, the beginning here, and lost the first 2 games.
You're really trying to mitigate the pain right now, aren't you?
You know what? I've never been so loosey-goosey.
Oh,
Evan,
you are
about
feeling
to the
confident.
Oilers this year. Have you ever seen me this year? I have said, "Hang it." And last night, I'm comforting you when you said, "Buddy, what's going on?" I said, "They gotta lose a game or 2."
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'm actually looking for your text. You said to me, "They weren't going to win every game, pal."
There you go. So you just don't have a leaf blowout
here. The
word
discombobulate comes to mind about that.
We're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. Lots of people talking about property taxes on my show this morning. Mayor Chad Baczynski, he is coming again here for his weekly visit, and I'll challenge him on why it's so high. So many people talking about how high their taxes are.
Yeah.
The notices were in the mail this week.
Notices were in the mail, and I was mentioning golfing yesterday, and pretty much that was the theme with everybody that I was golfing with. And even
was anybody happy with their notice?
Nobody was happy, and a couple of the fellas are retired on fixed incomes, and they're saying, you know, 50, 60 bucks a month more, that's significant. And so, yeah, it's. I'm sure City Hall is hearing about it, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, they are. And Mayor Chad Baczynski will have something to say about it here after the 7:30 news. Okay, your big show, we talked a little about TV themes, but I'm sure there's a serious side to Evan
Well,
Bray.
Of course. Actually, one of the bigger topics we're going to do today is we're digging into this whole Western separation discussion. So I've actually got 2 guests on the show, one very much against it, one very much in favor of it. In fact, she's part of the group collecting signatures right now to try and force that referendum vote. 2 very distinct sides to this. We'll open up the phone lines as well, but it's going to be good conversation with a former NHL player on one side and a former RCMP officer on the other.
Got a little comment from Prime Minister Carney finally about the Golden Dome. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's no conversation about how much this would cost, but he says, yeah, they've had discussions about it. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think my thing is I've had General Rick Hillier on the show before. I'd like to talk to someone who's got intimate details of what our defense funding looks like now, what we need to do. Is this the priority?
Well, Carney actually said that after. He said, but hey, it's a military conversation.
Right. Because, so, you know, I mean, you know, someone said to me, you know, oh, you're going to turn this away, Evan. You're going to turn away from an opportunity to partner with the states. Well, my point is we're putting duct tape on a lot of our helicopters and submarines in Canada. So we got a lot of money to spend. We're way behind on defense spending. So, yeah, I Golden Dome, I'm not sure it's the number one priority.
Okay. Evan Bray's back here at 8:30.